Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Yesterday we finished what we have time to say about Genesis chapter 4 and verse 13. That one verse highlighted for each of us something to really think about. We learned that sinners, like this man Cain, are most often more concerned with the punishment they are receiving for going against God. Sinners are more concerned with that than they are with the sin itself. As I considered this, I felt the twinge of conviction the Spirit of God gives to every Christian on this point. Sometimes we, as people belonging to Christ, are also more concerned with getting caught in our unrighteous behavior than we are with the sin itself. We become good at hiding our offenses from other people, but when our sin reaches a point we can no longer hide and we are exposed, then we feel regret for what we have been doing. Let's not wait for exposure to awaken repentance within us, friends. Let's be honest about our sin and confess it to Christ daily. Remember 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9? If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. What a promise that is! Admit our sinfulness, confess our sins to Christ, and Christ, who is faithful and righteous, will forgive and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is what Cain should have done. This is what we should all do, but he did not, and often we do not. My prayer for you and for me is that we will come under the conviction of the Bible in Genesis 4, and we will change our mind about our sin, turning away from it and turning towards Christ, our Redeemer and our Savior. It is too late for Cain, but it is not too late for us until the moment when we too die. Then it will be too late. So act now. Jesus Christ stands ready and willing to forgive those who confess their sins to him. Amen. I hope that you shouted back an amen if you agree with me. And when preaching in church, it is discouraging when I proclaim great biblical truth only to have Christians, who I am certain agree with me, just sit there quietly staring back. I always feel greatly encouraged when someone or more than one shouts back, amen, which means verily, truly, let it be so. Amen signals firm agreement with what is being said. So let's say it together now. Ready? Do you agree that Jesus is ready and willing to forgive those who confess their sins to him? Amen and amen. As we leave verse 13, we come to verse 14, and Cain continues to respond to the living God. In my Bible now, I am at Genesis chapter 4, and I will read verses 13 and 14 together for context. Genesis 4, verses 13 and 14. Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. And whoever finds me will kill me." As we discover truth embedded within verse 14, I want to highlight the first word, behold. And the reason I do so is to link something we said about verse 13 here to verse 14, as Cain continues in his lament before God. We said that Cain was not repenting of his sin. He was complaining about his punishment. Well, this word, behold, can also be translated, look, see. We can read verse 14 as Cain complaining to the Lord, "Look, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." Or, "See, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden, and I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." The tone is a grievance. Look, see. Again, Cain was more concerned with the consequences of his punishment than he ever was concerned with his own sinfulness. Cain then makes obvious a worry. "You have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden." We already know what this means for Cain because we have studied the curse the Lord made for Cain. Plus, Cain reiterates that he will be a vagrant and a wanderer, detached from the ground, from the land he was farming. But let me just say that Cain's remark here shows that even he knew that to be held back from approaching holy God was a severe and unwanted punishment. "From your face I will be hidden." What can be worse than to have the face of God hidden from you? Nothing. Nothing can be worse. One of our favorite commentators and Hebrew language scholars, H.C. Leupold, comments that even though Cain had no desire for communion with God, he still learned that to be kept from approaching God is punishment. I agree. And where would Cain have learned that being set apart from the presence of God is an agonizing reality? Where would he have learned that for God to hide his face was the worst possible outcome? Why, he would have learned it from his parents, Adam and Eve. Surely dad and mom would have spoken about their perfect communion with God in the garden in Eden and how that was lost when they ate of the tree when they sinned. God threw them out of the garden. The fellowship was broken, cracked. They could no longer look on the face of God. This must have been a very painful lesson passed down from parents to son, and now here, all the way down in verse 14 of Genesis 4, Cain realizes that he has done the same thing in his own sin. However, unlike Adam and Eve, Cain did not repent of his sin. He did not own it. He did not face up to it. He did not seek reconciliation with God. Adam and Eve had. That's a big difference. This part of verse 14, when Cain says, "You have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden," fellow commentator Robert Harbash points out is a very painful comment on the state of Cain's being. He writes that to be hidden from God's face is hell. To exist apart from God is death. To be hidden from God's face is hell. To exist apart from God is death. Under his curse, this is what Cain is going to experience, and it hits him now like a ton of bricks falling from the sky and crushing his body and crushing his soul. We could say it this way: because Cain is more concerned about the death of his body than he is the death of his soul, he is facing the wrath of God upon him for his sin. And we certainly know Cain is distraught over what may happen, he thinks will happen, to his body. Verse 14 ends with these words out of Cain's mouth: "Whoever finds me will kill me." Hopefully, as you follow along, I am leading us as we make our way through Genesis chapter 4 and verse 14, this is God Is, and I am Pastor Mark Swallow, here with you each weekday at this time on this station and or via this God Is free podcast. And this is what we do. We go verse by verse often word by word, through some of the most significant portions of the Bible in order to learn together who God is. And we often learn about him in the context of his relationship with us. How the Lord interacts with persons in the Scripture is illuminating. And these days we have been reading about the relationship between God and Cain. We need to spend some time together here at verse 14 and this statement, "Whoever finds me will kill me." I will start my commentary now and carry this over into next time. And that next time, Lord willing, is tomorrow, so do plan to be back with us then. The first thing I want to say will make you aware of something you may already know, and if you do not know this, I think it will interest you. Critics of the Bible have long proclaimed that the words of Cain, "Whoever finds me will kill me," prove that we should not take Genesis chapters 1 through 4 literally. Skeptics of reading and interpreting the Bible exactly as it is written love to use these words of Cain to prove themselves correct. And here is how. They ask, "Of whom was Cain afraid?" Of whom was Cain afraid? Oh, they say, if the only four people we have read about by Genesis 4, verse 14, are Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel, and Abel is already dead, then who could Cain possibly be afraid would come and kill him? Does he think Adam will kill him? Does he think Eve will kill him? This is the skeptic's charge. And we will deal with this tomorrow. So, invite a skeptic to join you on this station at this time, or via the free God is podcast, and then both of you come as we continue to discover together who God is. Thank you for listening to this God is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others. And be sure and join me for the next one.